If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris Podcasting family, a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and music. For more, visit osirispod.com. The show starts now. been listening to This Too Shall Light off of Amy Helm's latest record by the same name, out now wherever you buy and stream music. It's a gorgeous record that taps into Amy's wonderful spirit, her undeniable voice, and a selection of songs that are both personal and important. Though this is only her second solo record, she has an extensive recording background, having recorded with her father, Levon Helm, and so many other incredibly talented musicians. For her sophomore release, she pegged Joe Henry as the producer, which ultimately meant she would have to travel away from the studio and barn her family built in Woodstock, New York, to LA to record with Henry. The results are magnificent, but I wondered how daunting a task it was to leave the comfort of home, and that's where our conversation started.
So, yeah, I think that it was, I'm sure that Joe would have been open to something else, but that's his usual mode of operation. And as I said, a lot of the players, most of the players were from there, except for the singers that I brought in that came from Chicago and New York. So it just seemed the easiest road ahead to kind of do it that way.
And it's true. I mean, the rhythm section of this band with Jay and Jennifer, who I actually love from her work with Ray LaMontagne. Amazing work. So that makes a lot of sense. But was it weird to sort of head away from the barn and Woodstock and the aura of it all to record a record?
Oh yeah, I was intimidated and nervous. And Joe was very, very sweet in his words of encouragement before recording the album and going out there. But it was also exciting to challenge myself to do that and to have an opportunity to work with someone like Joe and to follow it through. It was a real exercise in kind of trusting yourself and that was exciting. Once the intimidation diminished, a real sense of excitement and accomplishment took over.
The record is a collection of both contemporary songs or songs written specifically for this record and a lot of really interesting covers. Let's start with some of the originals first. And then if you don't mind, I have some questions about some of the covers and some of the songs that you've been singing for a long time. So the first is obviously with Joe lending a hand. He wrote Odetta. And I'm curious if that's a song that he brought to you or if that's a song that you kind of knew about or how does that happen when a producer has some songs that he wants to check out?
You know, he did send it to me. And if I'm remembering this correctly, and I'm pretty sure that I am, I think that Joe's wife, it was very much in the 11th hour of the record. I think it was maybe within a week of me flying out there to cut the record. And he said, you know, my wife, Melanie, just had this idea and really felt like you could really sing Odetta. And he sent me the song. And I, you know, of course, it's such a cool, haunting and yet delicate kind of song. And I could immediately hear the harmonies on the chorus, which for me became this sort of hearing every chorus of every song and hearing certain refrains being lifted up by a 3- and 4-part harmony became the through line for me in terms of kind of finding myself inside the material and finding my way into the story of each song. And Odetta lent itself so beautifully to that. And that's how it came, got on, made it into the session, which I'm so grateful for.
You know, you raise a good point about being able to interpret other people's writing. I mean, it's probably a lot easier when you're covering a song, but when a song like This Too Shall Light comes to you that's written by MC Taylor, of course, people know him by his other moniker, His Golden Messenger, and Josh Kaufman, it's not necessarily a song you've heard. And so I suspect that coming up with how you're going to perform this song is a little bit more arduous than if you had just had a cover from those two guys, right?
Right. I was actually, I had a demo of Mike and Josh and I playing it at the barn, actually, because we had come together for a couple of days and had co-written some stuff. And Mike and Josh are both very prolific writers, and they had written a bunch of stuff in the few days that we were all here. So I had a demo off of Josh's four-track of us cutting this to Shell Light, and I think that I played a bass drum and snare, and Josh played mandolin, and Mike was playing guitar. He was very, I would say, rustic is one word to describe it, kind of a demo. That one, you know, that it's testament to the musicianship and the creativity of the musicians involved in the session, because that song, for instance, as soon as Jay Bell Rose started playing, the whole thing came into shape and into a kind of clear direction of what everybody else wanted to add to it. And then the harmonies, again, were the kind of galvanizing force, I think, to the arrangement of that song.
Yeah, I mean, harmonies are such a big part of the music that you are making on your own and the lineage mm-hmm. of your family's music and mm-hmm. even the music that you've performed for and with other people. I mean, I guess you have to have the chops and you have to have the ears, right, to be able to imagine those harmonies and then to fulfill them on tape.
Or you just have to know really great singers who will do you the favor of coming and singing on your record.
I think you're probably selling yourself a little short too, right? I mean, you're part of that.
Maybe. I don't know. I enjoy singing harmonies a lot, and I think that I'm good at it. But I also, you know, I've had the opportunity to work, and I continue to have the opportunity to work with such awesome, awesome singers that keep kind of raising me up and teaching me little nuances and depth to the art of harmony singing that have certainly educated me and continue to. So I truly mean that when I say that. It's Joe always says that it's all about who you know. Well, I feel like the harmony stuff, that was certainly about who I knew, too.
Let's talk a bit about some of the covers, because, again, very eclectic in terms of what you've brought to the table. The first one that I want to talk about is Long Daddy Green, which is a Blossom Deary. Am I pronouncing her last name right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Blossom Deary and David Frischberg wrote
right.
that song, yep.
And the story goes that you were a big fan of hers growing up, right? I mean, you spent a lot of time listening mm-hmm. to her music. And so why did you decide specifically on that song for this record out of, you know, her awesome catalog?
I don't know. Long Daddy Green is a little bit of a left turn from the initial conversations that Joe and I had, which was really to create an album with a particular through line, one of spontaneous community kind of singing and playing done with great abandon and joy, a la Delaney and Bonnie's album Motel Shot.
Oh, what a great
Long
record.
Daddy Green was a left turn, and somehow it was a song that I always wanted to sing, and something about the story felt so personal to me always, even growing up, because I thought it was such a beautiful, painfully truthful mm-hmm. Depiction of, I think, I don't know, at least the rock and roll life that I witnessed growing up. I don't know. That one just crept in. It just felt like something I could sing that would be honest and something to try. And then we tried it. So that was how it curved in there, and Tyler Chester, who played keyboards on the album,
yes,
he had so much to do with the sound of that and choosing to play it on organ and to give it the particular tone and vibe that it has.
Freedom for the Stallion is an Alan Toussaint record. And again, another one of these fits with the theme that we discussed. You know, all of these artists are artists that, you know, you probably grew up listening to and continue to listen to and continue to put vinyl on even today. Is there a particular reason why you chose Freedom for the Stallion, or is it just, you know, it just fit kind of the theme of what you were trying to do?
That was Joe's pick. Freedom for the Stallion is actually one of the first songs that he sent to me, and I was really excited to try anything that Joe sent, because I think that, you know, anybody who is a fan of his knows that his capacity to find songs for voices is extraordinary, I think. I mean, that's one of the things that I love so much about so many of his productions of other singers.
Right.
And so he sent me that song during our initial conversations of the record, and of course the words are terribly relevant. Joe changed the last verse of Alan's song, says they've got men building fences, keep another man out. He changed fences to walls, which was right on target and right on time.
The Stones That I Throw is a Leave On and the Hawks tune that precedes the band, and it's probably a record that Leave On and the Hawks played not too far away from where I'm sitting right now. I'm actually in Toronto. So they probably played that song just down the road from where
I'm on Yonge Street.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a couple stones throws away from downtown Toronto and Yonge and the bars here. And so particularly relevant for my ears. It's a Robbie tune though, right? I mean, Robbie originally wrote that song.
I guess so, yeah.
And was it more as a tribute to your father that you put the song on, or was it just a really good, again, one of those songs that obviously fits the mood of the record and that collaborative sort of feel? What made you specifically choose The Stones That I love that song, by the way. It just has a great beat.
I love it too. You know, it was both. It was something that fit the intention of the record, and it also was, in some ways, a bit of a tribute to all of them, to my dad and Rick and Richard and Garth and Robbie, and to that, I think that it was both for me, of course, and it's just fun to play, and that song continues to be. Has surprised me that playing that song live is one of the most fun. I'm having the most fun with that one.
That's true. You have a couple weeks to go, so I don't want to say you've wrapped up because you still have quite a few dates left. But have you been playing these songs on the road as part of your sets since you've been touring?
I have.
And how's the reaction?
Yes, I've been playing. It seems to be pretty good.
Yeah.
No one's booing and no one's throwing stuff at us. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. It seems to fit right in with the other songs. You know, it's always a balance writing a good set list. This record is a certain tempo, so doing it, performing it live, I'm balancing it out with a lot of, you know, danceable tunes, so that there's a little bit of an arc to the set, but I'm really enjoying digging into the material and you know, reinventing the songs live is always the next greatest part of making a record is working out the live arrangements, because stuff changes and shifts and becomes a new kind of collaboration with whatever band you're touring with.
Glory Land is a song that you used to sing with Levon quite a bit, and it is... of the two songs, probably more a fitting tribute to leave on. It's gorgeous, by the way, and it always has been a great song. I'm curious about Doyle Brommel sitting in. By the way, he was just on the show last week, so I'm curious about performing this song and how. Obviously, it's emotional if you're performing a song that you performed with your father. But I'm curious about at what point do you sort of understand or feel like you need to put this down on tape so that the tribute remains and you get the best performance possible?
Yeah, you know, it was emotional, but I felt proud of what we were doing. And Allison Russell, who sang the soprano part, I'd never done it with a female voice singing the top. And I was so proud of what we were trying to do and proud to be singing with Adam and Doyle and Allie. You know, I really sang that song as a tribute to my father, but also as kind of a gift to many, many people that come to my show. That's the song that is a center for them, and they have a real personal and emotional feeling about that song. And so after touring for 3 years behind the last record that I made, I knew that it would be important to include this one for people who wanted to hear a recorded version of it that wasn't on YouTube, you know, something that they could, that gave the song, that gave the song the light that I think it deserves. And certainly with Allie and Doyle and Adam, I think we did right by it.
Agreed. There are, as we mentioned before, a few more weeks of your tour and then you'll have some time off probably. To relax. What's the plan moving forward? You're a busy woman who sings on lots of people's albums, and obviously the barn is a place where people come to play, and I know that you're very active in the barn's life, obviously. Mm-hmm. Is that the plan to hang out in the winter in Woodstock and sort of chill for a bit? Chill. Double entendre.
I hope so. And my kids hope so. Yeah,
right.
I'm having some serious mom guilt right now, but which comes with the job. I am home for a little bit, and I'm in full mom mode and doing lots of soccer mom duties and karate mom duties. And
so crazy.
I'm trying to cook a lot of food and get a lot of laundry done.
Uh-huh.
And then after this next tour in October, I'll have a little downtime, which I will, you know, I guess I'm just going to try to hyper-focus on trying to write and practice as much as possible when the boys are in school. And then again, I'm trying to be super mom when I'm not on the road.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to do. And of course, I think that every day is every mom has to have a few failings in her plan, but that's pretty much what I'm doing. And then I'm going to be going out at the end of November again with the Wood Brothers, which I'm excited about.
Oh, that's great.
They love those guys, and they're good friends. And I guess we'll see where the winter takes me. I'm hoping for some downtime, and then it's looking like maybe going to Europe.
Wow, great, great.
But you know where I want to go the most, of course, is Canada. That's my favorite. So hopefully I'll make it up there too.
That's good to know. Thanks for the record. Thanks for keeping the tradition and the music that your father set before you alive and well and in good hands, obviously. And we can't wait to see you up here in Canada, and we can't wait to see you, if not here, maybe at the barn one day in Woodstock.
Wonderful. Thank you for those very kind words. They mean a lot, and I appreciated the conversation.
Thank you, Amy. Take care, okay? Be well.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
The harmonies, the lyrics, and indeed the stories behind the songs that are also brilliant are intertwined. Amy is carrying on the massive musical tradition laid by her father and his bandmates in a very earnest way, and for that, we are grateful. You can catch Amy on the road or at the barn in Woodstock, New York. For details, visit amyhelm.com. Before we leave you, it's only fitting that we hear Glory Land in all its glory.
If you have friends in Glory Land who've left because of pain, thank God, oh, they'll die no more, they'll suffer not again. So weep not, friends, I'm going home. Oh, there we'll die no more. No coffins will be made up there. No graves on their bright shore. The doctors will not have to call the undertakers, no. There'll be no pain up there to bear. Just walk their streets of gold. So weep not, friends, I'm going home. Up there we'll die no more. No coffins will be made up there. No graves on their right shore.
You've been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit osirispod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.